And now it's time to chain fire freedom with Clover Tack Talk. Here's your host, Chris Dover.
And welcome back, my friends, to another exciting episode of Clover Tack Talk. And today we're going to be talking with Jim from 2JC Custom Holsters. Going to be hopefully a great show. Learn a lot about leather work and how holsters are made. But before we get to Jim, let's do a little bit of house cleaning here and tell you about CloverTack.com. And over on CloverTack.com, you can, of course, get in touch with us in various ways, be it through our contact form there on the site or through our multiple social media profiles. You can also check out replays of the podcast there, as well as visit the YouTube channel. And we have the Clover Tack Thoughts blog going on there as well, just some random thoughts that I write from time to time. And finally, you're able to shop a wide variety of our very special affiliates and sponsors there on CloverTack.com. We got Jim on the line, and Jim, if you would, tell us a little bit about what you do over there at 2JC Custom Holsters.
Mainly, I do holsters, and I got into holster making actually from my father-in-law. He wanted a holster for a pistol of his, and I ended up making one, and he liked it. And I thought it came out real well, so I started making them, and got out of it for a while, then got back into it, and I'm trying to make a go of it, and it's starting to take off a little bit now.
Right. What year was that? Do you reckon that you made that first holster?
Oh, that was going to be around probably 1990, right around in there.
Right. So been a while ago.
Right. It's been a while. Yeah.
Remember what it was for?
Yeah, it was for a Smith & Wesson Model 64.
Ah, okay.
The 38 Special.
Right.
And stainless steel, you know, and he just wanted a holster for it, and I rigged him up a little old, made him a Tom Three Person style, and it, basket weave, and it came out real well.
Now, obviously, looking on at some of the pictures of the work you do, you know, you talk about that basket weave and the detail. And I'm a dummy when it comes to leather work and holsters. I haven't the foggiest how all of that is done. What type of hold on just one second. What type of time is usually involved in some of these holsters?
And some of them, especially the ones that are tooled or basket weaved or you know stamped and dyed, it's going to take at least a week, if not longer, because first of all, you got to wet the leather before you tool it or dye or stamp it, and then you got to let that dry, and then you got to dye certain parts of the saddle or of the holster before you can go on to another step. So then that dye has to dry. So there's several steps when you make it, and then you put it all together to sew it. And I don't have a sewing machine; I hand sew everything.
Wow.
Right. I had a sewing machine at one time and didn't like the way it sewed, so I sewed it and went back to hand sewing. There is a sewing machine I want to get, but that's going to be a little bit down the road because it's fairly expensive. But one that's plain, like my concealed carry holsters that are plain, that aren't tooled or anything like that, I can get them out in less than a week because you cut it out, sew it, wet form it to the holster, to the gun, and then let it dry. And then you can stain it and finish it and get it out. It's the ones that are embellished and are dyed that take the longest because it's just certain steps in between it, you know, where the stuff has to dry.
Right. That's interesting. Now, I've been told over the years in talking about leather, and, of course, you know, you can get on, I'm sure, probably eBay or Amazon and probably buy some cheap knockoff made in Taiwan piece of junk, you know, fall apart next week holster.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always been told that there's a, I don't know necessarily whether it's a difference in quality or a difference in the type of leather, but I've, I've always heard that there's a whole bunch of different grades, I guess, more or less, of leather. Is that true? And, and how does that, how
absolutely.
Does that work?
You got, you can get imported leather that's really cheap. I won't say cheap, inexpensive, probably be a better term. But the grades of cowhide that they use are less than what's used in the States. I use only Harmon Oak leather, and Harmon Oak Tannery is in St. Louis, Missouri. I used to use leather out of a tannery in Oregon, and they went out of business. And they were my favorite. It was my favorite. I loved this, the love this leather, but now I use strictly Harmon Oak, and it's as most of your master saddle makers, they'll use Harmon Oak. Anybody that, that really does good leather work, that's what they want is Harmon Oak leather. And there's different grades, of course. You got your best grade and goes on down to your other grades. And what a lot of what determines your grades is the marks that's on the leather that was already on the cowhide when the hide was pulled off the cow. So, you know, if you, you want an unblemished cowhide, you're going to pay for it. You're going to pay extra for it. So, but they're few and far between.
Right. Now, now does this may sound like a silly question, but the the breed of cow that it comes off of, does that make a difference with the leather?
Not really. You, I don't think they even look at the breeds. I believe, I'm not an expert at tanning leather by any means. You get your bull hide, the hide taken off of bulls because it's so thick, and they'll use that for the raw hide for rawhide and saddle trees, and then it goes down from there. But I can't think of any reason that they would want one breed over another on cowhide.
I didn't know if there might be a difference in the mm-hmm. colors or whatever. So what you're saying
that
essentially
that would
is
be
the,
a question. That would be a question for the tannery.
Right. So what you're saying essentially is that that grade or that quality that that basically has to do with the tanning process and how those guys go about it.
Yes, sir. You want vegetable tan leather. There's vegetable tan, what they call chrome tan, chromium tan, and it's just the process of the tanning. The you want vegetable tan leather for anything that's going to touch metal, because the chromium leather, chromium tan leather, will react to gunmetal and will it can damage your gun.
Oh yeah, that's
so
that's,
you don't want any of that.
Definitely not a good thing. Right.
No.
Hey, you were talking about this gentleman that you, well, I guess, apprenticed under, more or less, and how he was old school. Let's talk a little bit about has any technology changed, really, from the old school, you know, Wild West days of working with leather till now? Is there any difference in tools, or is it basically the same stuff?
It's basically the same process. Your best saddles are made with custom-made trees. That's the foundation. And then your saddle makers will cut out each part of the saddle and fit it to the saddle individually, because no two trees are going to be the same. So you can't die cut the pieces and expect them to fit. You have to do it. You have to cut and try until you get the fit. So, and there's a lot of ways. There's no way to shortcut. Now they're coming out with some fiberglass covered trees, and I haven't kept up on the saddle making end of it like I probably should have or should be, because I don't plan on building any more saddles, but, some of the tree technology has changed, especially like for barrel racers and things like that, to keep them lighter. Just different things are going on. But basically, you build the saddle the same old way it's always been built.
Right. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Now, on your holsters, typically do you see more guys buying your leather holsters for revolvers or semi-autos?
Well, I'll tell you what, when I first got it cranked back up, I was getting all semi-autos. Now I'm starting to get several orders for revolvers. One of them, Smith & Wesson Model 29 full lug 3-inch barrel, which I have to use a dummy gun, you know, to make the pattern and mold it to the leather. And that's hard to find.
Right.
You know, each holster is formed for that particular gun. I don't make any generic holsters. It's been real interesting.
I can imagine if you've got something rare, you know, that it would be.
Right. Like I said, I had this going a few years ago and had to give it up for personal reasons or shut it down. And before I shut it down, I had several orders for revolvers. And a lot of them, what I'd have to do is, okay, I need your gun if you want this holster. And I can understand how people would feel handing their gun over to a complete stranger.
Right.
You know, to make this holster pull. And I don't know that I would want to. So I don't do that anymore. If I don't have the gun for that particular holster, either in a dummy gun or a real gun, I'm not going to make the holster.
Right.
So, you know, like I just got another order for a 3-inch single action Army 45 Colt, and those don't grow on trees. And I couldn't find a dummy gun, and I just one of my coworkers, I asked him. I said, "Do you have one?" He said, "Yeah, sure." And so he's let me borrow it to make this holster for this boat. So I got lucky on that one.
Now, if you have a dummy, does the length of the barrel come into play, or can you use that dummy for multiple barrel lengths?
It depends on a shorter barrel. I can kind of adjust the length in or out,
right,
to accommodate. On the 3-inch barrel 44 Magnum that I'm doing, I'm using my end frame to do the body, so to speak, of the holster, and I've adjusted the length out for the barrel length. So
right,
that's going to work out real well.
Right. And have you you seen much of an increase in business since the open carry has passed?
Not really. Not for me. Let me put it that way, because I don't build anything. Anything I build for open carry is going to be for out in the field. Because most of these folks that want the open carry want some kind of retention strap,
gotcha,
like a thumb brake.
Right.
I don't do anything with thumb brakes. I don't do anything for open carry like that. The holsters I build for out in the woods, out in the field, they'll have a strap and a snap or a leather hammer thong.
Right.
You know, something like that, because they're just out in the woods. They're not in a public setting.
Sure.
I might be stepping on some toes, and so be it. But I'm probably one of the staunchest supporters of the Second Amendment. But if you want to open carry, go for it. You'll never see ever see me open carry.
I
don't want anybody to know I've got a gun until I absolutely have to fix it.
Right. I tend to be of the school that it's a little more tactically sound to
mm-hmm.
carry concealed.
Absolutely.
With that said, depending on the situation, I will
mm-hmm.
I will open carry. I've got a few different and mostly revolvers,
mm-hmm.
mostly wheel guns, honestly, if I open carry, and then I carry
sure.
a little 380 back up on my ankle, of course, but
mm-hmm.
I'll carry the bigger, prettier, you know, revolvers if I open carry generally. But it's
sure.
usually a dressed up situation, a controlled
mm-hmm.
environment. I usually don't open carry and then go into Walmart, you know, go trip to Walmart or something like
right.
that. And I've tried to make a point to do that every now and then, because though I do think that concealed carry is tactically better, I also think that we need to get these firearms out in the public a little more and desensitize people a little bit. There's not really anything scary about it.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, you're fine.
Okay. I don't have a problem with it. Like I said, if you want to open carry and knock yourself out, go for it. But it's not for me. I'm a police officer by trade, and by policy, I can't carry open anyway. If I carry off duty, it has to be concealed by policy. So I couldn't if I wanted to. But by that same token, if they want a holster for me to carry open, they got to understand it's going to be open top. Now my holsters for concealed carry, they are molded to that weapon. Especially for the semi-automatics, you don't need a retention strap or anything like that to keep the gun in the holster.
Right.
But it does not hinder your draw. Okay?
Right.
And that's my main concern carrying open, because most people, no, let me rephrase that, not most people, but some people may tend to get too relaxed, if you want to put it that way, and not be aware of their surroundings at all times. Too easy for somebody to come up behind them and snatch that gun.
Sure.
But you always
have that instance where, you know, you end up rolling around on the ground or,
sure,
you know, something like that.
Sure.
You know, or even in a panic situation, if you're in a crowded room, you know, people bumping into each other, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm with you on that. I mean, if you're going to open carry, you need some type of retention there for sure.
Sure, absolutely.
And it's not as important as concealed.
I'm sorry.
Oh, you're fine.
Okay. I mean, if they can order my holsters as concealed. Now, if they want to carry them open, that's totally up to them.
Right.
If they don't understand, I'm not going to do a thumb break.
Sure.
Because the concealed carry holster that I make for semi-autos, and I can also make them for revolvers also, but also you got to understand with revolvers, it's a little hard. It's harder to, it's not like Kydex. It's not going to grip some of these crooks and crannies of a revolver. But I can mold it to the revolver and put a little lip over where the back of the cylinder goes, and that'll help keep it in.
Right.
But with the revolver, most of the holsters I make for the revolvers are for the field type holsters. You're going out in the woods and things like
sure.
that.
Sure. Yeah.
So they're going to have the strap and snap. Now the holsters I make for the semi-auto, and I only make one style at this time. It's a belt slide, and it has a it has a reinforced lip around the top, and what that reinforcement does is keep that holster from collapsing on the draw. So when you go to reholster your pistol, you don't have to reach around your other hand and wedge that, you know, open that mouth of that holster up to reholster.
Right.
So, but it also is molded tight enough to where you can turn that holster upside down and shake it, and your gun's not gonna fall out.
Interesting. Well, Jim, if you would, tell everybody how they get a hold of you if they're interested in one of these custom holsters.
Well, I have my Facebook page, which is 2JC, and it's the number 2JC Custom Holsters. And I have a phone number. It's 903-926-0165. They can message me through my Facebook page, They can also email me. I have my personal email address. And it's jimoneshot@yahoo.com. And here pretty soon, I'm going to have a separate email just for my Facebook that will go with my Facebook page.
Right. Well, Jim, I appreciate you joining us today. And
yes, sir, absolutely.
Hopefully, now that some of these folks have got to know you, they'll give you a shout if they have any custom holster needs.
You betcha. And they, you know, they can message me. If they want to really discuss the holster, and I prefer this, to call me up. and that way we can really discuss what they need and what I will do and what I won't do. So, right. You know, and what I can do and what I can't do, because there's some things on hosters that they may want that I can't do for aesthetic reasons.
Right.
Or for structural reasons or anything like that.
Right. And sometimes people just want the impossible. That happens too.
Well, that's true. You're absolutely correct. I've come up on a couple of those also. So.
Well, again, Jim, appreciate you joining us, and you have a great day, brother.
Well, thank you, Chris. I appreciate you having me.
And that's all the time we have for this episode of Clover Tack Talk. If you're looking for a good custom holster, be sure to check out 2JC Custom Holsters. And once again, we invite you over to our website, which is clovertech.com. And from there, again, you can do all sorts of things, from follow us on social media to read our blog and help support the platform as well. Until next time, guys, be safe. Have a good day. We'll see you then. Bye.